Welcome to another edition of Audience Interviews, brought to you by Speed Art Museum, Anthology Senior Living, and Kentucky Tourism Arts and Heritage Cabinet. I'm your host today, Doug Driesbach, and we're excited to catch up with the President and CEO of Kentucky Performing Arts, Kim Baker, to see how they've dealt with the past 9 months, how they've adjusted, and what the future might hold. Welcome, Kim. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey. Hi, glad to be here.
Awesome, awesome. We're glad to have you, that's for sure. So Kentucky Performing Arts is really the home for the nationally renowned art scene of Louisville, the home to the Louisville Orchestra, Kentucky Opera, Louisville Ballet, Stage One Family Theater, and of course, Broadway in Louisville, all of which we miss so much, and I know your team does as well.
Absolutely.
In addition to these arts anchors, KPA facilities also host national touring acts ranging from musicians to comedians, political figures, you name it. You guys have hosted them or are probably planning to in the future. Boasting three of the city's top venues, including the Kentucky Center, Brown Theater, and the new Old Foresters Paris Town Hall, which is amazing. As well as all the live events in the country that you guys do, COVID-19 has really wreaked havoc on these venues as well as many others. So, Ken, this has been a heck of a year for you and your team, especially on the heels of a year dealing with the remnants of the fire and renovations. How are you and the team at KPA holding up?
Well, you know, everybody's holding up really well because we've been pleased to hear a lot of the positive news about the distribution of the vaccine, the effectiveness of the vaccine, and, you know, kind of some of the anticipated dates that touring acts and Broadway will come back. And so we feel like there's an end in sight, and we're just really looking forward to when we can bring audiences back together again with artists.
Well, we are all very anxious to hear how some of the renovations are coming along at the center and what additions and improvements from that are you most excited about?
Well, it's so funny because I can't believe that it's been 2.5 years since the fire. I mean, and it's a long time that we just had our final walkthrough to make sure that everything is done as it should be done. And, you know, the theaters weren't really damaged in the fire. We were fortunate in that way, but really all of the lobby spaces, you know, received incredible amounts of damage. And I think what I'm most excited about is just that when you walk into the lobbies, I think everything is going to feel very, just kind of very fresh and open. And we made a lot of improvements that you may not say, oh, hey, they put in new lighting, or hey, they put in, it's a different color of paint. But I think the overall feeling is going to be one of just kind of newness and very, very celebratory. And it will really kind of help serve the purpose of bringing audiences together comfortably. You know, just even the whole barrel vault was replaced with these incredible acoustic sound panels that help the sound in the lobby. So the lobby in itself could be another performance space for the Kentucky Center. So there's things like that. New carpet. We've got some wonderful new art on loan that we can't wait to unveil. All of these things will just give everybody kind of a welcome back. So we're excited.
Well, even with at the shows that I went to anyway, with the scaffolding and some of the renovations, I thought that your team did a fantastic job on navigating the crowds and making sure everybody got their intermission cocktails on time and all that fun stuff. So kudos to your team on that.
Thank you. So, thanks. It was, you know, it was interesting being open during such a massive renovation. And I just want to thank all of our, you know, our patrons for sure, and all of the individual groups that use the Kentucky Center for their patients, because, you know, being safe and working around kind of that scaffolding wasn't always the best customer experience, but we tried to make it as best of an experience as we could.
Yeah. So, back in March, you know, COVID rocked our world. Stages went dark, and we were all scattering to figure out what the next pivot was. Reflecting back on some of your initial thoughts and your team's initial thoughts, how accurate were they looking back? And then would you have done anything different now that you know what we've been through?
You know, that's a great question. And I don't think that, you know, if I haven't thought about would I have done anything different, but I can tell you that the steps we took initially have proven to have been the right steps, as difficult as those steps were, because we unfortunately had to reduce our staff down to just a very core staff. You know, knowing that this was going to be a long road ahead, but honestly not knowing it was going to be this long of a road ahead. And a lot of our staff have remained on furlough, coming up on a year now. So it's definitely been a long it's been a long road. And I think that what the idea was is that we would kind of do our best to keep core programming in place that we could do safely. And I'm really proud of what we've done. Of course, we had a digital Governor's School for the Arts, so we were still able to serve young people, young artists across the Commonwealth. You know, we stayed connected to the touring industry, and we've had, you know, great artists like Jim Brickman and Dave Koz and, you know, the Blind Boys of Alabama, you know, really making sure we're part of their national streams. We've hosted events where we could, like Lights on Main, that's going on right now in front of the center. We've worked with all of our incredible professional resident companies just to try to support what they might need. And, you know, they've done a lot of taping and capturing performances so that they can distribute work and remain active. And, of course, we kicked it off really early on with, the Kentucky Center Presents series, where we highlighted artists just from their very own living room. And that was pretty fantastic. We covered all kinds of artists, partnered with great organizations like the Kennedy Center and KPA at Home, with the support of some great sponsors, including Tourism Arts and Heritage and Brown-Forman, Commonwealth Credit Union, really kind of helped us stay connected to our local artists as well.
Well, you know, the art scene in Louisville and worldwide is always so resilient and creative and finding inspirational things to do. You know, so you saw Front Porch Concerts and Teddy Abrams doing a lot of things. And speaking of Louisville Orchestra, we thought that their collaborations at Old Forester Parish Town Hall with some of the artists, Sam Bush, and had a fantastic concert that Teddy put together with the orchestra, and then Jason Claiborne, and those kind of things, I think, are really exciting to extend the audience for all these people. You don't have to have a physical ticket, go to a hall and watch it. It really expands the reach of some of these organizations. We've also seen everything from parking lot performances to drive-in theater concerts. What have you seen or heard of? Any creative concepts that you think that might be sustainable moving forward that to ensure safety, social distancing, and protocols to allow you to jump on the live events when we're allowed to?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we're certainly looking for some hybrid events that we might be able to do in the spring, where we can bring a small group together inside, have a performance, and then be able to do some distribution, whether that's on the big screen, on the projection screen at Old Forester's Parish Town Hall in Christie's Garden, or whether that's just streamed. But I think, you know, just recently we were really kind of excited to read in Miami that the Miami City Ballet performed the Nutcracker outside, and that they had many, many shows that were sold out. And to see all of the dancers, although they had their masks on, you know, to the music of Tchaikovsky, you know, with individuals and live audiences there, was just breathtaking. And so I think that's what we're seeing, as you said earlier, you know, is really how to bring the arts outside right now, because that's where it is the safest to be. And I think as we see the spring and the summer come on, I know that Louisville's art community is going to be looking for opportunities to be outdoors in very different ways until we can all come together inside again.
So in addition to the COVID pandemic situation, the city also endured and is still working through the all of the civil and social unrest that we've been dealing with, and the whole city took a blow, especially downtown and the communities, the businesses, the restaurants, and of course live events, including the performing arts. You know, if COVID somehow disappeared tomorrow, do you think that people would feel comfortable coming down to a Broadway show or an orchestra event or to the facilities on a regular night? And if not, what do you think it'll take to get there? Or do you think they're ready to come if it happened tomorrow?
I think they are. I mean, I'm downtown all the time, and downtown, you know, it feels very, very safe to me. And it is heartbreaking to not see, you know, the people and the cars and the hustle of our downtown Louisville. But I can see it starting to ramp back up for sure. And I do think people will be ready to come back down. I know they will. I mean, we've seen that signal with just the shows that we postponed and people not wanting refunds. They want to kind of, you know, keep their tickets until we reschedule the shows. And really, it's a very small part of the audience that has asked for refunds. So I think people are holding on, and they're going to be ready to come back. Come back down to Kentucky Performing Arts, for sure.
Well, we can't wait, that's for sure. And thank you, everybody, for listening to another edition of Audience Interviews, brought to you by Speed Art Museum, Anthology Senior Living, and Kentucky Tourism Arts and Heritage Cabinet. We're here with President and CEO of the Kentucky Performing Arts, Kim Baker, and sharing some thoughts and things that are going on in the last 9 months since the pandemic. And so, Kim, as we move into the new year, the future is so unknown. As to where we'll be in a month, 3 months, 6 months. How are you and your team approaching the new year in the respect of booking performances, utilizing your venues in the best way and whatnot? Because I'm assuming there's got to be some kind of a pecking order in getting the acts that you want and securing when they're going to be.
Well, absolutely. So there's a couple of things that are going on right now. After the holidays, when the new year begins, we're going to be laser focused on getting our venues scheduled and what we need to do to sequence for a really successful reopening. So that includes everything from, you know, we already have a calendar that is full in the fall for all of our theaters, full with what the wonderful resident companies want to do, full with holds from touring artists around the country. The industry wants to get back, and so we have stayed connected and kept the calendar active. We've just had things a month or two as we know information. So certainly we're going to make sure that that we're in great contact with the agents and the promoters and you know, all of our wonderful companies to make sure that you know, they know we're ready. And then, you know, we just have to get the facilities ready, and that's going to require quite a bit of capital improvements. So we are working right now to really provide a wonderful touchless situation. You know, so there will be some differences in procedures when you come back to a venue with Kentucky Performing Arts, but I think it's really what's expected, and that people will be very thankful that we have procedures in place. But they will be a little different. We're going to have to make sure we do a great job communicating what to expect so that everyone is ready and doesn't run into any sort of challenges.
So as with you know, businesses and art groups and everybody around the country, I'm sure you guys had to scale back or evolve since everything quarantine started with your team members. Is there a plan for ramping back up to the full load that you were prior, and how does that work? I'm assuming there's a lot of work that goes into it now, even though you're not bringing revenues in, but you still need hands on deck to be able to accomplish some of those things.
Right, and you know, we've been able to maintain a lot of our core staff and even other staff that have been on furlough. Some staff that have moved on to other positions, but have told us they're ready to come back when we reopen. So we absolutely are going to go through a period of time when we ramp back up. from a staffing perspective, and we know that likely when we first come back, we're gonna be a bit of a smaller organization, but no less impactful. So at this point, we're really trying to almost redesign a bit of the organization so that we can really operate in maybe a little bit of a smaller way, but still ensuring that we have incredible customer service and just an incredible experience for our artists and audiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you keep your team positive and the momentum going forward? Kind of continual setbacks and things. What's the secret for keeping everybody on task but motivated and happy?
You know, I think the what I have tried to do as president and CEO is just to really remind people of the importance of what they do for our community, and and how important their jobs are, and I think that the people that I work with, and that's one of the reasons I love what I do so much, and is they're passionate about the mission, they're passionate about the community, and they're passionate about the center. So it doesn't take a lot to have people feeling just an incredible sense of just urgency in getting us back on track. And how to stay motivated, I think it's just keeping very hopeful, and as you've seen, we've been very active though in different ways, and that has kept everyone hopeful and forward focused as well. Lots of new things to work on, although very different. And I guess the last thing I would say is just being very flexible and understanding that we're all going through challenges right now, in this environment, whether you have children that are, going to school with NTI, or, whether you've got a loved one that's been impacted by, COVID. There are many challenges out there. So just being flexible and understanding during this period that, if you're working somewhere that you feel that there's an understanding and flexibility, I think it goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a great approach, and to keep everybody happy and moving forward, there is the monetary and the support factor of everything. What are some of the ways that people in the community can support Kentucky Performing Arts in 2021 and beyond?
Well, I mean, I think that the most wonderful way is just to come back and enjoy live theater, live music, live entertainment, of course, when you feel safe and you feel ready to do so. So I think that's the biggest way. And just to, I think the arts community right now needs individuals and needs support. The entertainment industry that was one of the first industries to close down. It'll definitely be one of the last to come back up. And so, philanthropically, if you can support an arts organization, and maybe that's your Kentucky Performing Arts, I hope it is, please do so. We do need support from the community and support from individuals right now.
Excellent. Well, Kim, thank you so much for your time today, and good luck on all the exciting things going on at the Kentucky Performing Arts.
Okay, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to another edition of Audience Interviews, brought to you by Speed Art Museum, Anthology Senior Living, and Kentucky Tourism Arts and Heritage Cabinet. Be sure to check out audience502.com for the latest information on the arts and entertainment scene in Louisville. Have a good day.